a person would get tremory. When it's headed down there, a little bit irritable, like all of us, right? You know, you can feel that hangry from irritability to kind of like lethargy and listlessness, a little bit of tremors, right? And I would say level of consciousness change, which is the big thing, because when you have that, you cannot guard your airway.
Hello out there. Welcome back to the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast. My name is Rob. I will be your host for this episode. Today, we are talking about hypoglycemic emergencies in nursing homes, what hypoglycemia is, when it becomes a problem, and how it presents in the average nursing home resident. But we're certainly not having that conversation alone because I couldn't do it. We have the fantastic Sharon Batista on to walk us through that process. Up first, it is the nursing home regulation question of the week, and it's another opportunity for you to potentially win your Nursing Home Abuse Podcast coffee mug. Well, how do I do that, Rob? Well, it's very simple, and simple is in air quotes. First, you have to go to our TikTok, which is at Justice for Residents, Justice for Residents, and find the question of the week video. It's going to be the one with the thumbnail that has the hourglass from the Days of Our Lives soap opera on it. You're going to click on it. You're going to comment the answer to the question of the week, as well as your favorite soap opera. And this could be, I'm going to open this up. It can be a night soap opera, like, let's say, Melrose Place or Falcon Crest, or daytime, classic, right? So my favorite soap opera would be Days of Our Lives, because I was a little kid in the 80s and my mom would watch it every day. And if you did, you better have been quiet while Days of Our Lives was on. This was like peak Bo and Hope, Patch and Kayla time period, if that clues you in on how old I am. But I'd have to, like, there's no way. Like, if I made a sound, no way. Anyway, comment your favorite soap opera and the answer. You'll be entered to win. One lucky winner will be selected at random on Sunday. The mug will ship out at the end of the month. I think that's how it works. I clicked off the script, so I don't have the script in front of me. That's how crippled I am without being able to read what's going on. Anyway. Okay, folks. I think the difficulty level this week is going to be medium hard. So if you get this right, you get to go on YouTube and watch some old Days of Our Lives episodes. That's your reward if you get it right. Under 42 CFR 483.35C4, what number prevents the director of nursing from also serving as the charge nurse? Is it A, the facility's average daily census, B, the number of full-time RNs on that shift, or C, the total number of nurses on that shift? So what number would prevent a DON from also being the charge nurse? And that answer is A, the number of residents in the facility is what determines whether or not the director of nursing can also be a charge nurse. And under the regs, under that 483.35C4, it is 60 residents. So if you get that right, congratulations. All right. As I mentioned, we're talking about hypoglycemia in nursing homes, how it's treated, how to prevent emergency episodes with it. But we're not doing that alone. We have the fantastic Sharon Batista. Sharon, actually, it'll be a link in the show notes, but Sharon has a really, really interesting article about hypoglycemia and kind of like a field study. It's very interesting read. I would highly recommend, if you're interested in this topic, to go and check that out. Again, it'll be in the show notes. And I say show notes, I really don't even know what show notes are. I don't even know why I say this. If you go to where the quote unquote show notes are and it's not there, then you'll have to go to our website. I will say that. It'll be somewhere. It's somewhere. Maybe even just type in Sharon Batista, legal nurse and hypoglycemia. Maybe it comes up, but definitely if you go to the show notes, wherever that is, and it's not there, go to our website and it'll be there. I promise. That I can promise. I'm in control of what's on the website. I'm not in control of this mythical place called show notes. Anyway, here we go. Sharon is a practicing registered, has been a practicing registered nurse since 1991 and the proud owner of LawMed Nurse Consulting, a firm that helps personal injury and medical malpractice attorneys with their most complex cases. LawMed is located in Cheyenne, Wyoming, serving Northern Colorado, Fort Collins Metro, and Denver locally, as well as many clients on a nationwide basis. So even if you're not located in that area where the buffalo roam, Sharon can still help you. Sharon is known as, or Sharon's tagline is, the objective detective deciphering the medicine. And we're so happy to have her on the show today. Sharon, welcome to the show.
Hi there. Thanks for having me. It's exciting.
When we on our end of the show are trying to locate guests, when we send the email out to confirm, we will ask the guests to help us with any pronunciation problems. And what I think is interesting is that you said that your name is Batista, not like the Cuban dictator from, I don't know, 75 years ago, as opposed to Batista, the current actor who was in Guardians of the Galaxy and stuff. It's like a generational, it's a generational pronunciation of Batista.
So I thought that was interesting. I guess so. I used to have people ask me that. Are you related to the Cuban dictator? So it's stuck in my mind.
But then
to avoid that.
And then I see in the notes, though, that you say, no, 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 we're from Queens. We're from Queens. It's not us.
Exactly.
Right on. Well, thank you so much, Sharon, for coming on the show to talk to us today. So I just want to kind of start off very broadly, okay, and just have you tell us, what is hypoglycemia and hypoglycemia? I got to learn how to pronounce it first. Hypoglycemia, okay. And kind of why is it dangerous for a nursing home resident?
Absolutely. Well, hypoglycemia is, the level of glucose in the circulating blood. And when we're speaking about circulating blood, we mean blood that's going to be supplying the tissues and the organs of the body. So what I mainly think of and what is mainly affected is the brain, which actually needs quite a large amount of sugar to operate. So the patient or the person, us, we can have executive function, decision-making, and alertness. And along with the alertness comes with, metabolic function in all of our cells for ATP and making energy So we generally look at a number about 70 as being low. However, sometimes symptoms might not show up until around 55, according to some literature. And then I've seen patients show some or come to me and complain about feeling a little woozy and a little lack of consciousness at around 80 to 100 just because they're used to high numbers. So with blood glucose, you want to avoid any dips, peaks and valleys. You want to be on more of a level playing field throughout the day. So I could get into all of that, but basically the danger was your question, would be decreased level of consciousness, which is what I have caught in certain places I've worked that will remain unnamed. And with that comes risk of aspiration because they're not controlling their airway and they can't control their airway. It also could make them confused and prone more to falling. So it's all related. All of the nursing home problems are related, and we forget about nutrition and hydration a lot.
Sure. So let me back up and make sure that I got it. So the hypo is when the blood sugar is too low or too high or both.
Too low.
Okay.
And the reason I mentioned too low is because, sometimes what happens, it can be nutritional. Also, if we give someone something super high sugar and it spikes their glucose level, what can happen is the pancreas can react and shoot out a whole bunch of insulin and drop that patient drastically.
I see.
So, some people are brittle diabetics, what they call brittle diabetics, and they can have a very wavy, instead of having that homeostasis and level playing field for the sugar and energy throughout the day and alertness, they have these peaks and valleys, which are dangerous. And the valleys are a little bit more dangerous
I see.
In the short term.
So what are typically, in your experience, what are the most common causes of hypoglycemia in a nursing home? Is it like just giving them the wrong food or wrong medication?
It's a combination of a couple of things that families and practitioners should be watching for. The first thing is really, what is their intake like? Okay, first of all, are they able to take in intake? Has their condition changed? Because by the time a patient's in a nursing home, they've probably had some really debilitating thing happen to them. They're deconditioned. They may have had a stroke. They may not be able to feed themselves, right? So what I saw in the hospital, which transfers to the nursing home, and I've also seen there, is a tray will be delivered. Tray of food will be delivered to the room, and it may not get to the patient, or it may get to the patient's table and sit there. So you and I both know that I'm the licensed personnel as the nurse, right? And you have CNAs helping. So the unlicensed personnel, it is our responsibility as nurses to delegate, educate, and make sure that we're following up and monitoring, because ultimately it's our responsibility to make sure that person is getting a meal. Now, whether or not they're taking an oral anti-diabetic medication or insulin or a combination thereof, which happens a lot, you'll have them on metformin, PO, and also insulin. You'll have several different insulins with different peak times. Even if they're not on any of those, if they're not having intake, they will become hypoglycemic. Then you have the pharmacist. So intake number one, and then you have the pharmaceutical interventions, which I think sometimes the physicians need to update, I would say, on rounds on a weekly basis. How's this patient doing? Is their medication the same as when they came in? Has their intake diminished? Do they like the food? Are they able to feed themselves, and have the CNAs been taught to make sure this patient eats? The other part of that, and I hope I'm not being too verbose, is that nurses, when they're drawing up the scheduled insulin, they need to be knowledgeable enough. And I've made cheat sheets for myself just to remember when things peak, because there are so many. And when I graduated back in 1991, we didn't have that many different insulins, short acting, medium acting, long acting, So knowing that and not giving that, unless you know this patient has a scheduled snack coming, they're able to eat it, they have been eating it. Looking at the dose, and I always taught my nursing students, I've done some teaching, instructing, and I always say, before you give a medication, when you draw it up, you're doing all the five rights of medication administration. Then as you're walking into the room, you should be saying, why am I giving this right now? Does my patient still need it? Is everything safe that I'm about to do? And one of those checks is, when is their next intake of any kind of nutrition whatsoever?
I see.
There are EMRs that have like a fail-safe, like Matrix, which I'm using right now. I'm punishing myself by working some nursing home shifts, and I don't say it's a punishment because of the patients. It's the nurse-patient ratio that's a punishment.
No, trust me. We are well aware of that on this show. But yeah. So let me kind of interject so we can kind of make sure we're all on the same sheet of music. You've got hypoglycemia, but when does it actually become an emergency? Because I'm assuming that there's some level of hypoglycemia that's allowable or it's acceptable. And then or maybe not. So you're shaking your head. So that's great. So please educate me. Like, when do we get from it's a problem to it's an acute care facility problem? We got discharge.
Sure thing. I would say level of consciousness. It should be the way I was raised in nursing. In New York, we had very strict instructors, is you head stuff off at the pass. You don't practice reactive medicine. You try to anticipate what could happen, monitor, it's a constant loop, the nursing process. You're constantly evaluating what you've done and monitoring, rechecking, revising, right? The plan of care. So it really shouldn't happen that often if you're paying attention. Sometimes the nurse-patient ratio does plug in, but if you have your nurse's aides well trained, it can help. So to answer your question about what is considered hypoglycemia that may not be a severe hypoglycemia or an emergency where the patient just says, I feel a little tired and, they're a little cold and clammy. I feel like my sugar's low, right? Or you notice a change. That could be around, 80 or 100 for some people, around that 70 mark, where we're getting into danger with level of consciousness and therefore risk of aspiration and other issues like falling and confusion. It mostly has to do with how it affects the brain. So you're getting into the 55, 40, I've seen 30, where we have to go to the crash cart in hospitals and, rarely in nursing homes, but and give that patient IV dextrose. In the nursing home, they don't have IVs. So I see a lot of people trying to give the patients sips of juice. That's all fine and good, but it's going to spike them and they're going to be down again, right? So they just need nutrition. If you don't mind, the other factor is, are they swallowing well? Can they still swallow, right? Have they deteriorated since they came in? Are they sleeping well? Maybe they really don't feel well. How's their speech and swallow mechanism, right? Maybe they just can't take the food, or every time they try, they're choking and it hasn't been reevaluated. So they need a nutrition consult and they need a speech language pathologist consult. And that's something we need to alert the physician. So if a patient's not eating or not able to eat, and that has changed, it's our responsibility to be in touch with the physician, even let the family know. And
And
sometimes the patients don't like the food. So.
that's true. That happens. So we've got lethargy, maybe loss of consciousness, maybe feeling run down or exhausted. Are there any other symptoms of hypoglycemia that we should be looking out for?
There would be tremors sometimes. A person would get tremory. First of all, when it's headed down there, a little bit irritable, like all of us, right? When we really need a meal, like nurses who don't get breaks, you can feel that hangry. So if you notice any of that, but then, it kind of descends from there.
I see.
So from irritability to kind of like lethargy and listlessness, a little bit of tremors, right? And I would say level of consciousness change, which is the big thing, because when you have that, you cannot guard your airway. If they attempt to get up to go to the restroom, they're probably going to fall, like higher risk. So, and then you could have coma and death from no blood sugar.
Okay, so we've talked about staffing, okay, and how, staffing typically can lead to negative outcomes, particularly with hypoglycemia. But talk to me about the concept of shift change and handing the resident off to a new shift and what challenges that present.
Well, I've seen it done poorly in some places, and I've seen it done well in others, more recently, where I have been doing some shifts. In the place I currently work, let's be positive about the good one. The nurse-to-nurse report happens. It's in matrix where we are monitoring intake. We're offering snacks on a schedule, especially to the diabetics, right? If we're giving the evening insulin, they usually have an evening snack of some sort, and it's on there as a task with the medication. So that helps. So even if the nurse doesn't mention to you, oh, they're not eating, you can see it when you go through the tasks. They should be talking to each other about head to toe, but when you have 20 patients in a nursing home, the nurses generally aren't doing a head to toe assessment. They're giving awake, alert, and oriented, how they transfer. What's the third thing? How they take their pills. Do we need to crush them? That kind of thing. And it's really fast, and you kind of have to do your own research. The other part that's positive where I work now is the CNAs report to one another. How does this patient transfer? How were they today? Are they incontinent? Did they have a bowel movement? And they closely speak to us. We have to monitor their bowel movements because once you're constipated, you stay constipated. It's very hard to go. I would say that it's very good where I am and very poor elsewhere. And you can't rely on your chart, right? You have to rely on your patient and some kind of handoff report. So usually when I give report and I'm giving it on 20 patients, you've heard of charting by exception. When something out of the ordinary happens, you document on that. I always write a narrative on each of my patients. It can be a few sentences unless something big happened. You can chart an event, and I always report that way. Anything out of the ordinary from this patient, because sometimes the nursing home patients are kind of known to the nurses. So anything out of the ordinary for that patient that day is given in report, should be given in report.
So imagine that you've got a family of a loved one in a nursing home. What advice would you give them with respect to preventing any type of emergency hypoglycemic events?
Well, sure. How are they eating? If you're making a phone call, do you know if they ate today? Did the nurse's aides, log it? Does the nurse know? Are they drinking water? If you're visiting, I would say try to be there at meals. Watch yourself, help them. Bring them something if you're allowed and they're not on a special diet, bring them something that you know they like, as long as you've checked and it's in the consistency for swallowing and safe, right? By order. But I would say inquire if it's over the phone, observe when you're there, see how their swallowing is, if they like the food, ask them how they're doing with their meals, and ask the staff. If they're on insulins, the family members can ask the doctors, hey, the nurses told me that the sugar was really low in the morning. Sometimes patients are hard to arouse in the morning because they didn't get that nighttime snack. They got a long-acting insulin. And people say, oh, they're really tired today. No, their sugar is probably low. And then the fasting sugar is always low. So you can ask the physician, do you think maybe they could be adjusted in their insulin a little bit? They're eating a little less now. Can we lower the sliding scale and the dosages of these insulins? And that is something it's not their responsibility. The nurse should be doing that. But if the family members wanted to be armed, that might help.
No, it's good to have an extra set of eyes on your loved one.
Yes.
Well, Sharon, we really very much appreciate you coming on the show and sharing your knowledge with us today.
Thank you for having me. I loved your podcast. That's why I reached out to you to just compliment you. And I do thank you for asking me and having me on.
Oh, thank you. Well, folks, I hope that you found this episode educational. And again, be sure to check out Sharon's article on this topic. Very interesting read. And if you have an idea for a topic that you'd like for me to discuss, please let me know. If you have an idea for someone you'd like for me to talk to, please let me know that as well. New episodes of the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast come out every single Monday. Be sure to enter into the Nursing Home Regulation Question of the Week. Win yourself a mug. But let's face it, you're not going to, and that's perfectly fine. I basically have settled into that now. I'm going to have a couple boxes of these for a while, a couple boxes of mugs for a while. So anyway, all right, folks, I guess that's it. New episodes every Monday. Did I already say that? New episodes of the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast come out every single Monday. With that, folks, we'll see you next time. Thanks for tuning in to the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast. Nothing said on this podcast, either by the host or the guest, should be construed as legal or medical advice, nor is intended to create an attorney-client relationship between the host or their guest and the listener. New episodes for now are available every other Monday on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or on your favorite podcast app, as well as on YouTube and our website, nursinghomeabusepodcast.com. Again, that's nursinghomeabusepodcast.com. See you next time.